My guest at this time is Horace Cooper. He is an attorney and is co-chair of Project 21. That's the Coalition of Black Conservatives. We've asked him to weigh in on some of the key legal and cultural questions raised from the chaos and the charges against six police officers in Baltimore. And Horace, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
When those charges came down at the end of last week, obviously you have some folks saying we're on the path to justice being served. Others say we saw six officers essentially being offered as a sacrifice on grossly elevated charges. Where do you come down on that question?
Well, I'm probably on the side of the grossly elevated charges. We really don't have all of the facts. We don't have the investigation completed, and we don't have the evidence that shows that the charges that were being presented are going to be borne out in a trial. Our legal system is not supposed to be that a trial is a fact-finding opportunity. A trial is actually supposed to occur only after a level has been reached to believe that, in fact, a crime has been committed by the individuals who have been charged. We're all concerned about whether or not Freddie Gray died under legal or illegal circumstances. But there's another factor, too, that hasn't been getting much conversation, and that is that there has been a false narrative presented that in America, black men are somehow at some elevated risk at crisis levels with encounters with law enforcement. The individual charged with the highest, most serious charge in this death happens to be a black officer. So we don't even have a case here where we're talking about white officer kills black male. This story is not what we were informed up front, and I think as the facts begin to develop, we're going to be a lot more surprised at how things change.
Horace, you just mentioned a moment ago that a trial should not be a fact-finding operation, but as some folks look at this, they say, well, maybe the charges are trumped up. Maybe they don't have basis to go as high as second-degree murder in the case of one officer, but the system will work itself out. If they've overcharged or it's trumped up, then the system will acquit these officers.
Yeah, it would be great if we could return ourselves back to the old British system where people like Sir Thomas More or Sir Walter Raleigh could just be singled out by the king and brought before with charges, and then have the claims and the defenses that people normally think are just in American society waived so we could bring charges. You're not supposed to, in America, have any person with charges brought unless the burden of proof has been met. In this case, there was a very clear decision, it appears, by the state's attorney to bring what she perceived to be the most serious charges that could be sustained without necessarily seeing what there's evidence. If this can happen to those officers, this could happen to any American. That's not what our legal system is supposed to be. And she has bypassed, at least temporarily, the grand jury process, which is a protection to make sure that you actually can support the charges that are brought against any individual.
Horace, the biggest charge, of course, you mentioned against the one officer who is actually black as well, is second-degree murder, depraved heart. What's the burden of proof on something like that?
Well, you actually have to have, with a second-degree murder charge, an intention. You don't have to show that the person planned this, and you may not have to show that the person actively conspired with other people, but you do have to show that the officer had knowledge of what the consequences of his actions might be, and that that knowledge proximately led to the death of Freddie Gray. When you charge six people with this death, even though the six people weren't together for the duration of the period, a couple of the officers were there at the arrest period, a couple of the officers were there along the way, and a couple were going along in the van. You don't have all six officers together with Freddie Gray for the entire time that he was in custody. If you are going to charge someone with depraved heart murder and someone else with negligence that's criminal, you are going to have to say who it was that actually took the actions, when did they take those actions, and how Did Mr. Freddie Gray die? This is a very difficult case on the evidence that we have at present, and you shouldn't be trying to use a trial as a way to let all of those facts come out, because what happens, A, it's a violation of our system to just randomly charge people, but B, what happens if there is an acquittal? The very crowd that demanded the charges in exchange for no longer burning down buildings, what are they going to do when, in fact, an acquittal may occur?
We're talking with Horace Cooper of Project 21. A few more topics we want to get to in our remaining few minutes here. Big question right now is whether there can be a fair jury in Baltimore. Some say no. Everybody's got an opinion on this. Others say, look, we did it in Massachusetts with the marathon bomber. You've got the theater shooter being tried in the local jurisdiction. Everybody has an opinion on that out in Colorado. So what's your take there?
Well, in both of those instances, it is possible to bring to the fore individuals who are capable of evaluating the facts in a way that can be neutral and dispassionate. It is also the case that in neither circumstance did the prosecuting attorneys make public statements about the accused that were provocative, that were inflammatory, and that appeared to be the case that the charges were brought to appease. That's what happened here in Baltimore. And I think all of us need to understand, as I said, there is no crisis, there is no truth to the idea that black Americans are at some crisis level, elevated level of risk when they have encounters with law enforcement. Here's a data point. More black Americans died from drowning incidents, twice as many, in fact, than have been killed on average over the last 10 years by law enforcement encounters. If every life mattered, we would be paying attention to those kinds of concerns, but we don't. We are pretending that this issue is the crisis du jour.
Horace, how might this impact the way police interact with minority communities going forward, whether it's Baltimore or perhaps another major city?
Well, this is one of the biggest problems, is that if you look at the circumstances where the rioting broke out in Baltimore, it is the case that the people, some 200 businesses, have now come forward and said that they have suffered fairly dramatic losses as a result of this. It is the case that it's those entities and those people that are not lawbreakers who rely upon police to protect them. Law enforcement has, on average, nearly a million encounters every year with black Americans that don't result in this kind of death, don't result in this kind of injury, and yet what it does do is it provides protection from people who greatly need it. We're going to see, just by necessity, law enforcement remove itself from many of these communities. When we saw the rioting and the mayhem, it was because the police were operating under a stand-down order. Those individuals are going to feel freer to engage in the rioting and mayhem, but there won't be cameras watching, and it will be the people in those communities who will suffer as a result.
How do we start to heal this? Obviously, you mentioned you think there's a non-existent crisis that a lot of people are paying a lot of attention to and probably shouldn't be, but in terms of actually restoring harmony to these neighborhoods, how do you do it?
Well, first thing we got to do is start holding accountable the elected leaders in these communities. You have in Baltimore, for instance, a mayor, you have a state's attorney, and a police chief, all of whom are black. You have a majority black police force, and you have elevated levels of spending, the number three highest level of spending per capita on education, billions of dollars being spent over the decade on job training, social welfare transfers of all kinds, and they do not work. Since 1968, the population in Baltimore has dropped every year all the way up through about 2004 or 2005. The population dropped, making it a city that was no longer, it was a top 10 city in 1968. It stopped being one. It stopped being one in the top 20. This is a problem. And if we don't start addressing how we can encourage family formation, how we can encourage a new commitment to education, encourage job opportunities in these communities. That's things that are not about government programs, but about cultural attitude changes and holding those elected leaders responsible, because they continue to push for the same failed policies. It's an opportunity now for people to really reassess, have the things that we've been doing for 50 years worked? No, they haven't.
Horace, last question. You're obviously part of a black conservative organization. There's been polls out ever since the riots last week in Baltimore suggesting that Americans think race relations are not going well. It seems to be polarized on this particular issue. You're obviously expressing an opinion that many in the black community do not agree with and disagree with, in often cases, quite a bit. What kind of response are you getting to your take on this story?
Well, actually, I've been speaking out on this, and we're seeing a significant number of people, black and white, who are recognizing the importance of the conversation. Now, there was a recent AP survey that was reported in which 27% of black Americans acknowledge that what happened in Baltimore were rioters and those who wanted to commit mayhem exploiting the opportunity. True, a majority of black Americans said it was a appropriate response to the criminality, to the mistreatment that they perceived. But 27% is a significant block of black Americans, and that's the group of people that we ought to start having conversations with, both politically and in the community, because if 27% of black America switched their political affiliation and their voting practices, it would revolutionize America.
Horace, we'll have to call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thank you, sir.
Horace Cooper is an attorney, and he's co-chair of Project 21, a coalition of black conservatives. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.